So the Lord really put on a message on my heart tonight about fathers, but not just about fathers, also about men. And ladies who are in the house tonight, don't worry that this is also good for specifically for girls who are looking for a husband. Look for these things in a good man that's about to become a father. And if God would bless you with someone, these are some things that you should be looking for. And young men who aren't married and are not yet fathers, it's fine. Look to these things that I will share with you tonight, some characteristics about what a good godly father should be like. There is a war against men, I would say. There is a battle raging in the world to get rid of fathers. I don't know if you've looked at the latest statistics, but in America, 15 million children live without fathers. That's 1 in 3 children. It's never been so high, the rate of families without fathers. Mothers, 5 million children live without mothers, but the rate of children living without fathers is triple, 15 million children. So we see that fathers are absent. I mean, you don't have to go very far. You can go to an American Thanksgiving dinner, and you can see Aunt Sally and Grandma Ann there, but you won't. Very rarely you'll see Uncle Joe and Grandpa Bob, and where are they, you know? Where are the fathers? And I think that if we look closely, we'll see that the world in this age, first of all, is trying to diminish the image of manhood, what it means to be a man. You know, we live in a world where people are confused about their gender. And even here in the state of California, we have bathrooms that are for gender-confused people, you know, to go into the same bathroom with the opposite sex. So we see a move to diminish what God had created, the image of God. And I want to go back to the very image of God, and I want to talk to you about tonight about the qualities of a man, but also the qualities of a good father. And our word for tonight is from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesa, capitolul 1, versetul 26. Și o să citim și 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Amen. This creation of man in God's own image and the likeness, let's make them in our own likeness, is something that has haunted man, actually, from the day one. When the serpent came to Eve, what did the serpent say? What was the serpent's proposition? Do you want to be more like God? See, the serpent knew there was a desire already planted in man to be like God. And this has not gone away. Man is now creating things out of thin air. We're building things. We are creating hearts and organs and doing things and playing God because we want to be like God more and more. We want to copy God, to play God in some ways. This desire to be like God. And when we want to get, one way of getting to know God's nature and God's character is by looking at the names of God. There are many, many names in the Bible for God. We know some of them. We sing them in our songs. El Shaddai, right? What does El Shaddai mean? Anybody? Celatot Puternik, God the Almighty. God Almighty. Jehovah Rapha, God the Healer. Yahweh Shalom, the Peace, the God the Peace. I was asking my dad, how many names does God have in the Bible? And he said, many, many names, but they're all given to him because the name of God is like a solution, he said. The name of God is a solution to a problem. And the only name that actually God himself identified with is I am that I am. So I want to look at four names of God and look at four characteristics that make a godly father and a godly man. The first one we're going to look at is Jehovah Nissi, and that means the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And this name of God, the Lord our banner, it speaks about the protection of God. And that is what a father does. A father protects. So the first quality of a good father is he's a protector. He's a protector. He protects his children. He protects his family. He protects his home. A good man, a good father is a protector. Lord, give us more protectors. Give us more fathers that are protectors, that are protecting. It's not just a protector that's checking on you all the time, like, who's that person you were with, you know, or what time are you coming home tonight? It's not the only thing. But we need those kind of fathers to come back. You know, the kind of fathers that say, as long as you are under my roof. Yeah? Everybody knows those? One thing my dad always said to me is, as long as you're under my roof. That was one of the things that was under my roof, under the rules. No dating until second year of college. And the girl that you're going to bring to our home, she has to be the one that you're going to get married to. I don't want any funny business, you know. And it worked. I mean, he ingrained it in our brains, you know. And it's true. My second year of college, I met Simona. He thought I was still too young to get married. But she was the only girl that I brought home, and it was in my second year of college. Of course, I spent 6 years in college, and then I dragged Simona with me through all the hard times. But the protector is there. He protects with his silence too. You know, fathers protect with their silence because they keep inside, and sometimes you want the man to talk. Right, girls, women? We want them to talk, share more, speak more, share your... But sometimes fathers, you know, they protect you with their silence because they don't want you to know everything that's going on, everything that you have to worry about, you know? You don't have to worry about how much money is in the bank or whether or not there's going to be food on the table tomorrow. Fathers protect. Fathers protect. And fathers protect by going before. I mean, everything that's about to hit the family hits them first. Everything that's going to hit the family hits them first. That's the kind of man God wants. That's the kind of father. You are going to get hit first. And you know, the only time you know when that is the value that your father had in your life is when you no longer have a father. Because then everything that he was there to block hits you. And you know, and you feel it, that you're in the storm. Fathers are there to protect. God protects. God is our banner. And fathers, everything that God has given us under our jurisdiction, so to speak, We have to present to the Lord, so it's our responsibility to protect that which God has given us, to protect our families, to protect our name, to protect our children, to protect everything that He has given us. Amen? A good father is a good protector. Then we have Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. God provides. God provides. A good father, not only does he protect, he's a good provider. A good provider. And he doesn't just provide, when I say provide, it's not just money. He doesn't just provide money. He provides wisdom. He provides friendship. He provides a way forward. You know? There's a beautiful card that I got from Elias when I got home. Last night I was sleeping at our house in Corona. It was the first night that I was the only one sleeping there because we were still working. And I came home after that, and he said, "Happy Father's Day." He gave me a note, and he says, "I know you're spending a lot of time there to build the house, and I miss you. I miss going with you on a fishing trip. I miss going with you deep sea fishing." I took him deep sea fishing, and he'll never forget that moment when we went deep sea fishing. See, fathers don't just provide bread, but they provide memories. They provide friendship, companionship. When a father is gone, friendship also goes. And providing a shoulder to cry on, you know? How many fathers here, you know that you are the ones that your children can turn to when something goes wrong? My children turn to me all the time when they're in trouble with their mom. So I am always the shoulder to cry on whenever they get in trouble with my wife. But it's good to be they need that too, right? They need someone to run to. But it's sometimes, you know, we adopted this philosophy of, you know, daddy means fun, mommy means business. You guys know that one? It's daddy also means business, because daddy also protects, and daddy provides wisdom, provides love, provides a shoulder to cry on. The third one is, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And this characteristic of God's name speaks to what it means to be, basically, to be a pastor. You know, we see that a shepherd is like a pastor leading the sheep, right? This is the image of God in the name of God. The Lord is my shepherd. And like a shepherd, you as a father are a priest, are a pastor in your own home. And God has called you to be a priest in your own house. Abraham, we were talking about Jonah and Abraham, and they were people of the altar and people of prayer. Before you can be a provider, before you can be a protector, you need to be a man of prayer. Need to be a prayer warrior. That God rises in the church. Amen? When you're a priest, when you're a pastor, it would be so wonderful if all of us practiced this in our house, because then we wouldn't have to turn all the time to the pastors for help. You are the best person that can pray for your kids. Did you know that? Nobody can pray for your wife better than you can. Father, husband, man, whoever you are. Nobody can pray for your kids better than you can. I remember when, Elias, I'm going to use you again as an example, but I'll move on to Annabelle too, don't worry. Elias, by the time he was 3 years old, in third grade, he had broken his hand three different times. And I remember I was at work, and my wife called, and that she was she was heartbroken. She was crying on the phone, and she said he broke his hand again in the same spot, the same hand. This was the third time. And I said, put him on the phone. I took the phone. He took the phone. He said he was crying. And I said, Daddy's coming home. Daddy's coming home. And I was at work. And I was in downtown Los Angeles, and I don't drive. I take the train, for those of you who know me. I jumped on the first train that I could, and I rushed as fast as the train would take me to get home early. And when I opened the door, he heard, and he asked my wife, is that Daddy? Is he home? And I went straight to him, and I prayed. And I said, God, I said, you know, men are... When you pray, there's a difference between when women pray and when men pray. My kids will ask me all the time, why does mommy always cry when she prays? And then when you pray, you don't cry. Why? You know, women pray differently than men, and they pray a lot. You know, women's like, the mom's prayer is like, Lord Jesus, please. Tom de Sousa. You know, it's a typical... woman prayer, you cry, you pray, it's about your feelings, right? And the man is like, Lord, I need $300 until Friday, help me out. If you don't help me, I don't know. You know, that's a man, typical man's prayer. And the woman comes and says, well, if you'd just been praying more, we wouldn't be in this mess. But he does pray. He does pray. He just prays in his own way, you know? He does pray. I prayed for him, and I said, Satan, you're not going to do this again to my boy. I'm going to go into the enemy's camp like we sang, and I'm going to take back what belongs to me. That's the kind of fathers we need. We need prayer warriors. We need fathers who are willing to fight the devil on their knees. So, the Lord has called you to be a shepherd, to be a priest, to be a man of prayer in your own house. You know, and you think, oh, it's the sin that is in my life that is holding me back. It's not the sin, it's the fact that you're not praying that's holding you back. And if you would pray, God would help you to defeat your sin in your life too. The fourth one is El Roy. This one you guys may not be that familiar with, but it's the God who sees. The God who sees. El Roy. The strong one who sees. The strong one who sees. You know, just because men are more silent doesn't mean that we don't see. And the role of a father in a child's life is to see the future. The role, not just to be a priest, but to be a prophet. To be a prophet. To be able to see in your child what they would become. What they're capable of. You know, the world is not going to see all their qualities. Or they're going to try to instill in them qualities that they don't have. And they're going to try to push them towards things. It is your role as a father to see. To see beyond. To see the weaknesses. To see the strengths. How wonderful it is to have a father cheering for you, saying, you can do it. You can do it. That's the role of a father, you know, cheering at that game. Go, go, you can do it. You know? The one who sees, the strong one who sees, the role of a father. When Annabelle was trying for... soccer, she missed she went to try out for soccer, and she was devastated because she didn't make the team. And I kept practicing with her, and I said, look, you just haven't found your sport yet. You're gonna find your sport. And then volleyball came, and she tried out for that, and she didn't make the team. And she was devastated again, and she was crying, and she said, all my friends are in volleyball, are in soccer, and I'm not good at sports. you know? And I said, and I told her a story. I said, when you were a baby and I took you to the doctor, you know what the pediatrician said to me? He said, I measured her femur and she's taller than the average child. Your daughter is probably going to be a basketball player. And I said, look, you still haven't found your sport yet. It's probably basketball, so let's try that. And we went and we played basketball, and basketball tryouts came around, and she made it. You see, it's the role of a father to see and to plant and to not give up. You know, we need fathers that encourage their children, not just put them down. We need fathers that lift up. We need people that can see into the future. These are called prophets, church. We need prophets. We need more prophets, and we need more fathers to be prophets. You know, when Elijah was giving the mantle to Elisha, and they crossed the Jordan, remember that scene? They went, and he didn't tell them what's going to happen. He just said, just watch me. Just watch what I do. You know? And Elijah took his mantle, made it into a post, and he hit the water, and the Jordan opened. And then when Elisha came back, after Elijah was taken to heaven, he said, my dad's not here anymore to show me, but I saw him. I saw what he did, and I remember. And then he took it, and he did the same thing to see if it works. And it does work. See, kids, what you see when you see your parents, that they're going to pray for a problem or that they're running to God, it works. And kids need to see this, that it works. And then we need to pray until it works. And we need to ask God's wisdom to speak to us, to hear his voice. These are the things that a father can give us. A father is a protector. You know, not to have a father in your life that protects you is a sad, and it can be a dangerous thing, because you need a father figure. Even for those people who don't have fathers or their fathers have passed away, you still need a father figure in your life. It's important. And those of you that don't have kids, that doesn't mean that you can't be a father figure. There are so many young people here that need father figures, you know? There are young people going through depression, through suicide, through all sorts of things happening right now in the world, and they need father figures. They need someone to be able to call and say, I'm in trouble. What do I do? Has the Lord called you to be a father? I think the Lord has called many of us to be a father, and we are fathers, whether it's to your own children or to others that need fathers. A good father protects. A good father provides. A good father is a priest in his own home. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A good father sees what's in you, the best in you, and says the best is yet to come. A good father is a prophet in his own home and can see the future, can see the signs. Lord, let us be good fathers. Help Emmanuel Church to raise good fathers. We need good fathers in Emmanuel Church. We need good fathers in this society. We need fathers because there are so many fatherless. So may the Lord help us tonight. As we close in prayer, if you all want to stand, please. Let this be our prayer. Let this be our thoughts as we go home and we close tonight, this Father's Day. Lord, make us more like you. Lord, you created us in your own image. Father, you are our model. You are our role model. Protect us. Provide for us, Father. Lead us as a shepherd leads the flock to sweet waters. See in us that thing which we cannot see in ourselves. Envision in us. Prophesy over us. Just as Samuel saw in David a king. There are kings here. There are kids here who are kings. Because in every king there is a kid, and in every kid there is a king. And only you can see that, Father. Heavenly Father, I pray for this church to raise fathers. To raise fathers out of those who are left to be fathers in this church, who said, I'm going to stay here to be a father. To be a father to those in need. To protect, to provide. To be a priest, to be a prophet in this time. Let us pray together.